good morning to all of you big listeners out there.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening
to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Hello, Think Big listeners. Thank you so much for joining me today for some Tamar time. I'm not very sure what I sound like coming out right now, but hopefully if there are any problems, you will definitely call in and let me know. We were having some technical difficulties just before starting the show, so I wanted to make sure you knew that it was perfectly okay to call in and let me know whether or not you're having some problems hearing me okay or not. But anyway, for the most part, we'll just dive right in. Today's show is very informative, in which you have all been personally asked to join me in launching. It is indeed an honor for me to have your listening ear today as I reveal to you the heart, the direction, the purpose, and our progress thus far on my personal journey of entrepreneurship by launching the Rich 4 Race Them Runt. Now, a little description about this show that you will be hearing right here on Think Big Radio every first and third Money Making Monday morning at 10 a.m. is the Tamar Enriches series. We will follow my own personal journey of this Rich 4 Race Them Runt, which is a youth project featuring the Rich 4 kids. This is a wonderful, talented group of children from Illinois, Mississippi, and Tennessee who are all working diligently together to establish a tiny house community that will be the headquarters for a summer camp they are launching this summer. I'm so excited for them, and I tell you, just the thought of summertime, maybe if you're familiar with this, just kind of opens all kinds of doors and memories down your camping experiences growing up. And if you're anything like me, those were experiences that you hold very near and dear to you, and it is my sole desire to give these children a fun, exciting summer camp experience. So within this series, you will also learn our backstory, our present story, and our future story, in which we will also give you opportunities to become a part of our Rich 4 family connection. From time to time on the show, you will hear interviews from other professionals that have valuable insight and other information important to our organization as well as to you and where you are on your personal life's journey. Therefore, this series definitely isn't limited to just the business year. Any person striving towards reaching their dream that's filled with passion and has lots of determination will be enlightened by the Tamar Enriches series. So, for today's show, we will discuss where we are now. There's so much to talk about that within that little nugget, but I'll give you the short story since this is just our introduction show, and in the next coming weeks and in the days ahead of us, you will be able to see updates on our social media sites as we continue to build them and launch those as well. Now, our contact information is pretty simple. If you want to reach me by email, you may do so by emailing me at tmrich4@gmail.com. That's my email address where you can send anything to me that you would like me to read or know in the long form. You may text me at 708-860-9554 if you just want to shout out or say a quick hello or give me a nice, awesome, wonderful, luscious piece of information that you don't need to use a lot of words to get out to me. And you can also reach me at Facebook, Tamar Rich. Now, we have other websites that we will launch within the coming weeks that will tell you more about our program, but the reason why we don't have very many of those websites right now is because the program within the Race Them Runt Summer Camp Series will allow for the children to be able to set up these websites themselves. This is a Race Them Runt, hint the word STEM, deriving from the letters that create the words science, technology, engineering, and math. So we're saving as much of our technical parts of this program as possible to be real jobs that the children participating in the camp will have to finish. Okay, on to other things. Now that you know how to reach us, we welcome you to become a part of our family connection. I'll tell you more about that later on. Did I mention we are new? We are brand new. Our program is in its very infant stages, and we know that we will need a lot of assistance, feedback, resources, and volunteers. All of those things will be needed in an abundance in order to make this program a success. But as I mentioned, this is my idea, something that I feel like I am able to do, so I'm prepared to do that. I know that this is going to be a long journey that's going to require a lot out of me, and I'm willing to give my all. But I also know that as a good leader, good leaders have three good traits. Those traits are, number one, good leaders know the mission. Number two, good leaders pursue a purpose beyond themselves. And number three, good leaders strive for goals that require the work of others. See, I told you there'd be something in here for everybody. I've already clearly laid out the mission. We have already begun to pursue a purpose that is way beyond myself. And now I am speaking to you live over these internet airwaves today about our program, letting you know what we're doing, letting you know who we are, what we're all about, hoping that it will somehow spark you to want to participate, join in with us, and help us bring this project to fruition. So without further ado, I wanted to make sure I gave you a thorough update about what this Race STEM Runt is. Now, the word race, first part of our program, is simple. Race, just like that. When you think of the word race, you might think fast. You might think cars. Well, for us, it's all about cars. I have a wonderful 11-year-old son who is at the heart of this whole program. And he likes racing, anything racing. He likes racing Mario Karts in the virtual world. He likes racing RC cars, which are little AI-controlled race cars that he uses his electronic devices, iPad or his Galaxy tablet, to operate through an app. And he also likes to race RC cars. He has a gas-powered RC car and several other regular electronic RC cars that he has grown to love and has a passion for playing with. So his input was, it has to be fun, Mom. The program needs to be exciting, and since I love racing, we can throw that in there. So that's where the first part of our program, the first part of our name within the Rich Four Race STEM Runt, where it comes from. Second part is the STEM project, which I spoke to you earlier about. It is a combination of science, technology, engineering, and math activities and applications that the children will be given opportunities to complete. And lastly, the runt. When you have a litter of puppies, nobody likes to runt, right? But I wasn't that person. We always wanted the runt out of the bunch. I can think of several different occasions when we decided it was time for a new puppy, when we would go and visit people that had litters. We specifically looked for the runts in the bunch. And when we saw them, we definitely fell in love with them, and we always picked the runt and brought them home, loved them, cared for them, nurtured them, and turned them into wonderful pets. Well, now that's not where this particular runt comes from, but just a little backstory on how I feel about the word. Runt is derived from the term restaurant. My son, you're going to hear me talk about him a lot, so just go ahead and get prepared for that. He decided that he wanted to be an entrepreneur. He was maybe about 6 years old, and he said he wanted to grow up, work for himself, and he needs to get started right away. I said, right away? You mean there's no time? He's like, no, Mom, I have to have all this done by the time I'm 19 years old. Okay, we'll come back to that 19 years old later on down the line. So stick with me. There's so many exciting things that I'm going to tell you within this series, but in order to always get the little pieces that I'm going to say for next time, you're going to have to tune in. Well, anyway, for him, he needed to be established by the time he was 19. So he decided, I have birthday money saved up and I have some gift cards. So he brought his gift cards to me and he said, you could buy these gift cards for me and use them at Toys R Us when you get ready to go and buy my birthday gift. Smart kid, right? I buy his gift cards from him. He had a total of $120 worth of Toys R Us gift cards that I purchased from him with the pleasure of being able to use on his birthday gifts later on that year. But, hey, it was genius. This is my kid. I would have purchased $1,000 worth of gift cards from him if he'd offered them to me and turned right around and used them to buy something for him with them. That's just what we do as parents, right? But he brought his gift cards to me. He cashed those out. He counted the rest of his birthday money, and he said, and I've got a plan for the rest. And I said, okay, what's your plan? He said, well, we've been learning about the environment and how important it is for us to save it. So I'm going to recycle, and we're going to start recycling as a family. And all of the money that I make from recycling the tin and the aluminum, I'll use it. I said, okay, great. And he says, and I have one more idea. I said, okay, what's your last idea? He says, after I recycle all the cans and all the tin and all the money that I have from my birthday gifts and the gift cards that you bought from me, I'm going to buy everything that I need to have a hot dog sale. I thought, really? He said, yeah. So we sat down and we talked about that for a little while. And if anybody knows my son William, if he sits down and talks to you about something, you pretty much have to take him seriously because he means exactly what he says. And I knew when he talked to me about this hot dog stand that he was very serious about it. He'd already worked so hard for months and months and months recycling and taking those little tickets and saving the money that he got from them. Now, if you recycle, you know there's not a lot of money in recycling. But my son would recycle all of his scraps, and he would take his receipt that they would print out for him showing how much he had and the weight of it and how much it was going to pay him out, and he would scan it at the recycling yard, and it would give him a whopping $3.14, and he would be so excited. We had a little deal that whatever he raised, collected, or earned, that we parents would match it for him. So those little receipts that he started to collect from the recycling yard started to add up, and he was beginning to see, I can definitely make this happen. And he talked to his mother. He talked to his grandmother and his uncle about his plan, and they came pick him up and took him and lavished him with a supply of everything that he needed for his hot dog sale. So he said, Mom, because I have two suppliers, I don't even need to spend any of the money that I've raised, so that can immediately go into my savings account for my business. And I thought, you're absolutely right. Now, this kid in his business mind continues to light a fire under me, because I know when he's really into something that it's important for me to show him that I've got his back, because that is the spirit that drives entrepreneurship. And that's what I'm trying to teach them. And by teaching this to him, whatever it is that he grows up and does with these skills, I'm sure will definitely benefit our world as a whole. So all these little things definitely are adding up to become something big. Now that you know where the term race, STEM, run come from, obviously the name Rich Four represents us as a family. We are a family of four, and we have worked diligently with children throughout the years All of my children had the pleasure of growing up in childcare with me, the mom, the owner, the director, and the teacher, the cook, the librarian, the custodian, and the repairman and electrician for my second home daycare center that we owned back in Starkville, Mississippi, where I am originally from. So with this childcare background, my son said, "Mom, I'd really like to see us go into business together." He said, "It would be nice if we could just figure out a way to combine your skills with my hot dog stand and just have a family business." And I thought, okay, William, that sounds like a great idea. So let's brainstorm. We sat down, we did some brainstorming, and that's where we got the Rich Four Race Them Runt. And now if you're wondering about the four, I don't think I'll reveal that to you today. That's a nice, sweet little nugget that I'm going to hold on to for a future date that goes along with another story that I'd like to tell you that's just not on our agenda for right now. But let's move on. I promised you that today's show was going to be informative. So informative it is. I have another little bit of the story to tell you before I can give you an update. William was so determined with his hot dog sale that he got to work right away. Once he finished with the hot dog sales that he held in the suburban area of Illinois where we live, we packed up, we took a family trip, and we went to Mississippi. Now, why were we going to Mississippi? Because my son said we had to expand. He says, "Mom, my hot dog sales have been so successful, we've got to expand." So this was no longer a little hot dog stand that we were going to set up outside of our home on the weekends. This was something that William wanted to see as a business that was supported by his friends and his family and anybody else who wanted to see a young child become a successful entrepreneur by the time he was 19. So our next deal was if he made enough with his sales to date from everything that he's been doing, from recycling to his hot dogs to his coins, that I would definitely match his money to purchase him a building. Now, I had no idea it was going to happen as fast as it did. He was so successful. Within a few weeks, he'd earned enough money to make this happen. So the summer of 2015, that's what our summer goal was. We went to Mississippi. We scouted buildings, and the building that I had picked out on a previous trip was the one that we decided to go with. Okay, now I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to read an insert from my journal from June 19th of 2015. So it says, "I too have been arguing with God about how odd of a task and how mundane it was of an idea to buy a storage building and repurpose it for the use of a shelter in a small wooded acre camp in a small community. But after reading Melanie's blog for 4 days in a row and after reading Elizabeth's blog for 4 days in a row, I was convinced this was no longer a good idea, but a God idea. Not only did he show me visions of what it is to look like, he also promised to provide every single item needed to bring this project to finish. I am ready, family, to extend your prayers, encouragement, time, talents, tools, resources, and helping hands and spiritual guidance to ensure a miraculous launch. Next, I call out my family to be patient, understanding, resourceful, and of good cheer during our growing pains within this process. Now I call on the community. the home of my birthplace and adolescent years, where I was when this idea was conceived in Starkville, Mississippi, to show up like never before and bring all you have to ignite the fire and compassion so that it may spread through each sector, burning away hatred, jealousy, slothfulness, negative ambition, pride, resentment, greed, envy, hurt, pain, and restore it to a community budding in love, peace, joy, prosperity, growth, abundance, direction, and togetherness. Police departments, fire departments, doctors and nurses all around the world, you represent the red, the white, and the blue of our program, and also the prayers that will inspire more children to think red, white, or blue as a profession. Now, that was just my journal entry from 2 years ago before we made as much progress as we have right now. And there's a lot of things within that particular entry that I will, again, address later on in later shows. But the gist of it was the fact that I was really falling in love with the idea of buying this, purposing it for a project that was going to benefit the children of our community in such a miraculous way. And the fact that it was thought of and came to conception with conversations with my son and that his father and I have had throughout the years, and to be where we are right now with the building on the premises and about 65-70% complete, I'm excited. I'm elated because I did argue with God about that. I feel like I was just thinking this is weird. That's not going to work. But that was just my eye. I was looking at it through my eyes. I wasn't seeing the bigger picture. And once I took everything into consideration, I meditated about it and I prayed about it and sat down with my family and went into deep conversation at great lengths about what this program is and what it was to be and how will we do it and how will we make it happen. And they were like, by any means necessary, we will make this happen by any means necessary because it is necessary. So that's what I did. I put together a plan that was going to help us to get there. We knew that we were already strapped tight for cash in our household, taking care of our family and just trying to figure out where the extra money was going to come from to do this project was not a worry. When you know that what you're doing is something that's supposed to be done, you just do what you can do. You use your resources that's around you. You use everything that you have already in your possession. And I got that from my mama Dora, Miss Dora, to some of you out there. And let me just stop right there before I move any further. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of my second home children who have grown up into fabulous adults right now, who started out with me on this journey 20 years ago in May 1997 when we launched our first ever summer program in the Starkville community at the Spring Hill United Methodist Church. So any of you that's listening right now, big hugs and kisses to you. I can't wait to see you when I get home, so we'll talk about all that later. Now, moving back to my Miss Dora, she was the teacher that I had in my infant room in the daycare center. And she, whenever we'd sit down and have meetings about what we needed to do for the center and what we wanted to do for the center and our future plans for the center, we would always think beyond our resources. And she would always remind me, don't worry about the resources you don't have, Ms. Michelle. You just got to use what you got. And I could just hear her voice right now in my head just saying, use what you got, use what you got. So when we started this process, I just began looking all around me. And how many of y'all just got stuff? You got totes. And you have boxes and you have file folders and you have things. And I'm sure that you save all those things for a reason, because going through the trouble of creating a file system and making space to store totes and boxes, you're doing it for a reason. So whatever those reasons are, don't let them be left behind as one day I'll get to it. Maybe today is the day that you start to go through those boxes and those totes and you pull those things out that you need in order to pull your dreams together and to get your maybe you just even need to get organized. So you might need to go through your boxes and totes and get organized. Keep the stuff that you need. Hold on to everything that sparks joy. And get rid of the stuff that's holding you back. Dead weight only causes you to move at a slower pace. So cut the fat, get rid of what you don't need, start fresh, move forward towards your dreams and goals, and make something happen. That's what I did. I started going through boxes and totes and file folders, and I started looking and reminiscing and reading and seeing all of the things that I put aside and saved and held on to that I knew would be a little bit or a little piece to the puzzle that I needed one day in order to bring this Race to Run to fusion. Before we even knew that it would be called a Race to Run, we knew that it would be something. So all of those little things just started reminding me that there is a job that needs to be done, a job that's way bigger than me, but a job that I am able to do, that I'm responsible for doing, that others are depending on me to get done. So through looking at those boxes and going through those totes, I was able to put together something wonderful, something magnificent, something easy, because everything that I needed had already been placed in my path. So the groundwork for this had pretty much been laid. My background within the child care field as an early childhood educator and educational psychologist just kind of made it all possible for me to accept, first of all, this task mentally, because if you work with children, you know you got to have the mental mindset for that. That's not everybody's area of expertise. But not trying to pop my collar or nothing like that, I'm actually a genius in that area. I work very well with children, and because I'm so passionate about being that person that children have, that parents know that they can call, that's not ever going to jeopardize the health and safety and well-being of their children, I think it deserves a pat on the back, because I know that's me. I know that without a doubt, when children are in my possession, when they are with me, I take care of them just as Jesus watches over his sheep. One can't get away without me knowing that I absolutely positively have to stop and go back. One can't be in need without me absolutely positively stopping what I'm doing and going to that one to take care of that need. So do I have a lot of children in mind right now for this program? I didn't at first, and I said, okay, Lord, well, just give me 4. God gave me 24. Yay, hallelujah, praises. I can't hear you, but you should be clapping right now. So when he gave me those 24 names, it was no longer a question of, do I still do this? It was, get yourself together, big girl pants on, get to Mississippi, and complete this project. So where we are right now today is working on the completion of our building. Our building is a very, very, very important structure to us. By securing a building, we are able to sit down and plan and prepare and go forth with all of the activities that we would like to do, because we already know that we have a dwelling. That's big. That's important. Now, what I did was bought a 12 by 32 storage building with the purpose of remodeling into a clubhouse. How did I do that? Like I said, my son worked really hard on his hot dog sales, his recycling, and trading in his gift cards. There we go. And then he finally took all of the change that he had in all of the piggy banks that he'd had since birth. He took those to the Coinstar at our local grocery store, and he traded those in. Once he did that, we sat down and decided as a family we could tackle this project by project if we would just, you know, cut out a few extreme things around here. And, well, maybe coffee you wouldn't consider extreme, but it's extreme if it cost you a lot to drink it or to enjoy it. So what we had to do was go forth and figure out ways to save money in our budget by cutting out things that we really didn't need. I gave up Starbucks and takeout. So with Starbucks and takeout, each time I wanted Starbucks, I would take the money all the way, rounding it up, people. Don't be cheap here. So if you're going to spend $6.70 on your favorite Starbucks, you have to take a whole $10 and put it in an envelope. Well, that's what I did. Each time I wanted that wonderful, luscious drink from Starbucks, I'd take $10 and put it in an envelope. I'd go to the kitchen. I'd get out my old cheap instant coffee, make it as strong as I could, put some ice and cream in it, blend it up in the blender, take some of my whipped cream, squeeze it on top, and bam, there you go. There was my drink, and I didn't even have to leave home to get it, and I had 10 bucks to the good for doing it that way. That was a high. Realizing how much I wanted Starbucks and realizing that I was saving money by not drinking Starbucks and I was still having me a wonderful Starbucks-ish drink, yeah, that got exciting real fast. So I started doing the same thing with takeout. I said, all right, instead of having takeout, we're going to sit down, we're going to plan a menu, I'll post a menu on the refrigerator, we'll buy the groceries for this menu, we'll stick to it, and instead of going out to eat, we'll make sure that we pick a meal off the refrigerator, gather up the provisions from the pantry and the fridge and the freezer or wherever, and move forward. Whatever amount we plan to spend, say for instance it was Taco Bell that night, we already know if we go to Taco Bell, it's going to be about $27. So what we have to do, round up, people, not to 30, to 40. Why? Well, I have a huge gas-guzzling truck, so I have to include the cost of gas anytime I decide to move my truck and drive it somewhere. So going to Taco Bell was going to cost me at least $10 in gas plus $27. Gives us $30. We just round it on up to $40. So instead of going to Taco Bell for the night, we take $40, we put it in an envelope, we go in the kitchen, we get ground turkey, we get tortillas, we get lettuce and tomatoes and all the other wonderful things that we like on our tacos. We have tacos at home, and we saved ourselves $40. Now, when you get used to doing this, it's going to become addictive. And, oh, my gosh, don't count your envelopes. You have to seal the envelope. Like, put the money in the envelope. Put the date on it right on the outside, the reason why you save the money, and then, like, stash it in a drawer somewhere. Don't go back to it. So over the course of, about 11 to 12, yeah, right at about a year, that's what we did. And summer of 2016, we came envelopes in hand, ready to tackle all of the remodeling that needed to be done on our building. Now, remember when I said we were going to do this a little bit at a time? Because little things add up and accumulate to something wonderful. Well, I did not want all of the stress and the strain that's associated with a huge remodel construction project. So I said we're going to have to just chop this off, this block, a little at a time and go from there. So I came with the first goal in mind was to, we had an envelope to the side with the cash needed down to the dime for how much it was going to cost us to buy supplies and hook up the lights. So we moved forward with each project just like that. We hooked up the lights. We ran the pipes for the water. We hooked up the water. We ran the electricity inside the building. We had to install several bathroom fixtures. Yeah, all, the entire bathroom fixtures, all that had to be installed. So, like I said, each little project became its own thing that was tackled one day at a time. Now, before we even get to the progress that we've made so far on the building, I have to stop. I have to stop. Because when I first decided to go to Mississippi and tackle this project, I was thinking about all of the different shade tree contractors that I've employed back in the day. When I arrived there, none of them were available. This is 20 years later. So none of them were around. This was a whole new era, and that's what I was really looking for, because you can't really just go down and complete a whole remodel like this with the kind of money I had in those envelopes. We're talking real chicken change here. So I was looking for somebody who was good but cheap. So and anytime we show up at home, our family and our friends and our community, they are so awesome. They are so wonderful. They just know from the out-of-town tags, Michelle's at home, so they all stop by. People just see the out-of-town tags in the yard, and they come up, and they started asking questions. Oh, so what you got going on? They wanted to hear so badly that we were coming back to establish something child-worthy again. It was a huge loss for our community when we left, when we shut down the daycare centers and when we decided to move to Chicago. So we left a lot of people missing us and yearning for us to get back. I've had so many different situations where I've bumped into people at visits home who would just say, I'll pay you to come back. I'm thinking, I know you're so serious, but that's just not in the cards right now. But deep down inside, remember those big things that I talked about in my first intro that, like, pull and tug at your heartstrings? Getting back to Mississippi and putting something together for the sake of the children in my community was something she was definitely going to do. So it was always on my mind that I had to get back home and get something put together. Well, one conversation out in my yard led to the name Whiskey. I said, Whiskey? They said, yeah. I said, well, what's his real name? Because I don't know everybody call him Whiskey. So just, you know, ask around, and people, you'll hear about him. You'll bump into him, or somebody will tell you where to get in touch with him at. And, you know, the person just went ahead and left. So I went ahead on about my business. When I get to Mississippi, my business is weeds, it's trees, it's overgrowth, it's burning brush, it's fire, it's cleaning, it's hauling, it's loading trash. It is a job. It is hard. It is hectic, but I love it, because when I'm done, the results are always so rewarding. So one of these hot, humid, sultry days, I was burning some brush, and my fire got out of hand. So I had to put it out, which was very hard in the heat. And because I had such a short hose, that I tired myself way out. I mean, I don't tire out easily, not especially when I'm down south and when I'm working and I'm motivated and I'm in my, you know, groove. But this particular day, I was exhausted beyond belief, so I had to go in and lay down. I am recovering from adult epilepsy. This is an issue that I have, that I know is a part of my life, but I try to be friends with it. If I'm friends with my condition will be friendly back to me. So I didn't want to have any what we call episodes in my family. So I went in under the nice cool air. I laid down and I took a nap. I was awakened, like startled, scared up out of my sleep, kind of awakened, because that was some good sleep on this hot day in Mississippi under that nice, cool air conditioning, to somebody banging on my door. And I'm in an RV, so it doesn't take much to bang and shake an RV. So I literally woke up thinking that my little RV was being swooped up in a tornado, just like on Wizard of Oz. But I'm just being dramatic. Anyway, it was a big bang. So I went to the door. And I open the door, and there's this gentleman standing there. I don't know who he is, but he's like, hey, lady. I'm like, hi. I'm Whiskey. They told me you was looking for somebody to come do some work up here. I was like, yeah, hey. I was so happy to see him, y'all. I forgot he had even scared me up out my sleep, and I was, like, all the way good from now, because I knew once Whiskey got in my yard, oh, it's time to get the envelopes out, and it's time to head to Lowe's, and it's time to get this project on and popping. So Whiskey showed up, and Whiskey, my kind of man, he was willing to go through this process with me exactly like I wanted to. I wanted him to know exactly what jobs I wanted done, and I wanted him to tell me exactly how long it was going to take him, or at least give me a roundabout time, and how much it was going to cost me. He was fine with that. He said, okay, now listen here, now, lady, now this is how I'm going to do things. Excuse me. I'm going to come up here and work for you every day. You going to tell me what it is you want me to do when I get here? We're going to leave, and you're going to give me some breakfast. We're going to get your supplies. We're going to come back. I'm going to do this work here for you.
And then when you get ready to drop me off at home, you're going to take me in and let me run and pay my bills, and you're going to give me my money, what I have left out of it. And I said, okay, all right, fine, that's cool with me. He said, because I like to have a good time, and if you get that money to me before I pay it my bills, I ain't going to have no life down here in my house. So that's how we're going to have to do this. I said, okay, Whiskey, that ain't no problem with me. So he was like, well, when you want to start? I said, whenever you want to start. He said, well, let's start now. So just like that, people, we got started right then and there. We left home. We stopped by the Huddle House. We picked up a real big breakfast plate. He got started with the supply list. He gathered everything up he needed. He came back to the car. He loaded it up. We went back to the house. We had a full work day. And I took him home, just like he said, after running him around, paying his bills and giving him his change that was left over. And he showed up the next day for work. Now, this went on for a while, and there were some days when Whiskey would show up beating on the door, and this sound don't sound the same. So I would go to the door and notice that he's leaning over, holding on to the side of the bus in a bent-over position, using his cane to knock on the door. And when I look down, I see that he has one shoe on and one shoe off. And I say, Whiskey, are you okay? What's wrong? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm all right. Let me get myself together here. I walked up here. All right. So it's hot, first of all, people. Understand, this is Mississippi. It's hot every day. And he walked from his home to my home. This is Mississippi, people. He lives on a rock road. So he had to walk on a lot of hard, hot rocks in order to make his way to our property. And then when he arrived, he was just overheated. I could tell he just really needed to collect himself. So I gave him a few minutes to do that, and I offered to just take him back home and let him rest and come back whenever he felt better and we continue on. He said, no, I've been doing this here like this for over 50-some years, and just like cars need oil changes, I'm going to need an oil change around here real soon, and then I'm going to be all right, and we're going to keep on going. But until I fall out flat on my back, I got to keep on working. So for him, his oil change was a hospital visit. He explained to me that he gets sick from time to time. He knows that he has this sickness, but he works and works and works and works until he can't work anymore. He goes for a hospital visit, and then he gets his strength back, and he resumes his work. To me, that was amazing dedication. I cannot tell you. There were other occasions when he would show up to my home with one dress shoe and one work boot. And I'd say, okay, now, Whiskey, what's up with the shoes today? And he'd explain to me, well, that church shoe hugged my foot the right kind of way to put the kind of pressure I need on it for the work I got to do today. All right, genius. Whatever works. His humor was amazing. There was never a dull moment with Whiskey around. And I just wanted to give you a good history and background on Whiskey because, friends, in January this year, I got a call from a friend that called and said Whiskey had died. News tore me to pieces. Just a few short months ago, Whiskey and I had been working, oh my gosh, faithfully on my project. In the hot heat, he would show up for work on a cane or a crutch by any means necessary to get a job done for me. And one day I said, Whiskey, why do you do this to yourself? He had just been in the hospital, and he walked home from the hospital all the way to my house with his hospital papers, his little plastic hospital bag, and he had his hospital bracelet on, and he said, now, lady, what your name is again? And I tell him my name. It's Michelle Whiskey. I ain't going to never get that. I'm just going to keep on calling you lady. And he did. That's what he called me. Hey, lady. Or now, lady. Or come here, lady. It was just something, lady. But he said, if I don't do this here work for you, somebody going to come up here on this here hill and try to charge you an arm and a leg for work that I can do with my eyes closed. He said, and good people like you that's trying to do something for kids don't need to get taken advantage of like that. So I'll work on this project for you until I ain't got no more breath in my body, and I mean that. And that's what he did, y'all. He worked on my project for me until he had no more breath in his body. And when I think about having to go home and pick up this project and start over from not getting to finish it with him, I feel a little overwhelmed. I feel shaken. I feel stirred because he made it so easy. He would go in and bang, 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 put up walls, run pipes, and just do what he did, literally, with his eyes closed. And he could only work a couple of hours a day, so the work that he would turn out a couple of hours in the day is more than I probably could have got a crew to turn out for me in a full work day because he worked so fast. So I'm motivated once again to get here because Whiskey was willing to work on my project for me until he didn't have any breath left in his body. I got to be willing to work on my project with the same enthusiasm and determination and willingness to get done as he did. So that's what you're going to get from me. Over the next couple of weeks here, I am going to do all that I can to get our first group of campers here to our Rich Four Race Them Runt. I have a lot to dig through from winter woes. It's Mississippi, people. It's over the winter months. I have several that are bursted. I have critters that tried to find a space to live, and I'm sure they got in my unsecured building somehow and set up a home. I have a yard that has to be turned into a luscious spot, suitable and pleasing and inviting for children. So there's a ton of landscaping. And I have a, I guess, maybe 20% bit of construction that needs to be done in the building, not to complete it, but to make sure that it is secure and safe for the children to be there for camp this summer. Now, as I get ready to close here, I wanted to make sure that you knew how important it was for me today to get to share this with you. Made lots of notes, but gosh, because this is a radio show, you just never really know exactly what's going to come out. I do believe that what needed to be said has been said, and if anyone has any questions or let me see if anyone has any questions or comments. I'm sorry, I got lost right there. I was looking for a story. I have to make sure that I leave you with this very special story. So I'm just going to take a couple of seconds here and pull it up. And here we go. Now, to date, the children for the first Rich Four Race Them Runt summer camp session, they've been chosen. And I will tell you who those children are in just a little bit. But thank you for listening with me. And as I get ready to go into this story, I want you to know that to date, this journey has been long and tedious, without a doubt. And yes, I have wanted to throw the towel in so many times. But just recently, we had our first fundraiser for summer camp in which the children baked homemade cupcakes, turned sugar into syrup, made fresh squeezed lemonade, and sold it at the 31st Street Beach in downtown Chicago. Due to the Labor Day festivities, the lakefront was flowing with layers of people, so parking right off the bat was our first issue. I pulled right up to the curb, and the kids started to panic. They were just in the back saying, you can't park here. We're going to go to jail. They're going to come and arrest us. Oh, my goodness, I won't get to see my mom. And my special little Kimani, you know what she says? I can't go to jail on my birthday. Anybody that knows Kimani, I know you can just hear her saying that right now. It was her birthday. So, yeah, I had to make sure none of the kids went to jail. But I said, Hey, chill. Think about it. Do you really think the officers will harm a group of camp kids setting up a lemonade and cupcake table? But they were very reluctant to answer me. I turned around and looked at them, and I just saw just signs of worry all over their faces. So I turned on my Mommy Dearest voice and said, children, listen, it's perfectly legal to do this. I will turn on my blinkers, though, and this signifies caution, emergency, or help, or to let the officers know that we are coming right back to our vehicle. If the officer sees my blinkers, he will probably come over to us. When or if he does, I will tell him that I will tell him what we are doing and ask permission to continue. But for now, let's just finish unloading the truck. Then I will park it properly afterwards. Trust me, we've come so far not to give it a try. We decided to set up and stay for at least 1 hour, so we'll give it our very best for that hour. And after that hour, we will decide whether or not to pack up and go or to continue. We'll set up and stay for at least 1 hour and then make our decision. Well, after they set up, the officer came over and purchased a cup of lemonade from them when they asked him if he was interested in buying. It took him a while to get over there because he was so busy directing the holiday traffic. But when he finally did, he explained that we were breaking a couple of laws while chuckling and giving us directions as to the way that we could go about it for the next time. This made the children so happy. They saw him speak to them as a genuine person who, even though he had the power to really disrupt our day, he chose to educate us right there and let us know the do's and the don'ts in a friendly way. And because he chose to do it with kindness and sincerity, this really empowered the children. As we came up on our first sales hour, it wasn't so good. And during a little pep talk, I gave the children the option to pack up and go or stay and see what happens. Because the officer had permitted us to stay, they felt comfortable and more motivated to really give it their all for one more hour. But we knew that before we knew it, the cupcakes were leaving by the panfuls, and I was refilling gallons of lemonade jars every couple of minutes. The children thought it would be a good idea to entertain the passerbys with something interesting that they had created, so some dance routines earlier. So traffic started to really pick up as people started inquiring about who we were and what we were doing and where we were going for camp. One gentleman asked them where they were going to camp, and they replied loudly to Mississippi. He was amazed and happily gave them the change from his $10 bill for his $2 cup of lemonade. And then he reached into his pocket and gave them a single $50 bill he had folded in his front pocket. Needless to say, that really boosted their confidence and gave them encouragement. Afterwards, as he nudged his friend standing there to follow suit, his friend also gave the children back his change from his $10 bill for his $2 cup of lemonade. A few other customers at the table paid with $5 bills and allowed the children to keep their change also. And as our weekend started to wind down here, as our hour started to wind down here at the park, it really started to get busy. So I wanted to cut the kids some slack. They had not had an opportunity to play yet. So we all made a group decision to go ahead and pack up and leave after we run through our rush of half-price lemonade sale, which was successful, by the way. It allowed us the opportunity to go ahead and sell out, which was our goal. And once we were done, I told the girls to count the officers, including the one who had been so kind and generous to us throughout the day. And
we're experiencing some technical difficulties at the moment. Give us a minute and we'll be right back with you to continue the show. Until then, we're going to play a musical.
Thank you. wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
We want the most important thing to listen. Our host, Mom Rich, from the
Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who
sorry about that brief disconnection, but I will take a couple of minutes here to go ahead and wrap and leave you with my final thoughts for today's show. Well, once the girls were done giving the officers their, once the girls were done counting the officers, they all gave them fresh cups of lemonade and thanked them for their services. Now, there you have it. I think about the time and the effort and the energy it took to pull that day off, and it was practically effortless in comparison to the response I heard from one of the children on our way home. That was the best day of my life. Those words bring tears to my eyes because this was accomplished spur of the minute, and it turned out better than I could have imagined. For me to just wake up and text those parents and say, have your children here at 10 o'clock so we can have a cupcake and lemonade sale today, is an honor because they trust me. Whenever I ask for their children, I don't even have to give them background information about what we're doing or where we're going, and they bring them over to me and never worry or fret if I keep them longer than planned. Most of the times, they don't even question me as to why we're late because they already know that from the look on their child's faces, it tells them all they need to know. Why don't these parents ask questions, you say, or you may wonder? Because they know me through and through. And yes, what they know about me leads them to place their most precious possessions in my care to do whatever, to see whatever, to go whatever, whenever. So when I hear the words, the best day of my life for an unplanned lemonade sale at the beach that's 15 minutes away from my home, I'm overjoyed with the thoughts about how they will feel when we really step up our game and tackle even bigger, broader experiences. This was a work day for them. They were all asked to show up at my home and bring a muffin pan. They were told of their goal, to raise money for camp. They were told to bake the cupcakes and make the lemonade all from scratch. They were tasked with the responsibility of going out to sell the lemonade and the cupcakes for profit. They finished the day on such a high note. I know it will take a lot more than lemonade and cupcakes to pull this off, and I'm not only interested in bringing this project to fruition, it has to last. So join me. Let's turn this Race Them Runt into a summer camp project for many children to enjoy for years and years to come. Thank you so much, friends and family. It has indeed been an honor and a pleasure sharing my Money Making Monday morning with you right here for Tamar Enriches. I hope that your Tamar time was fabulous, informative, and empowering. Join us here next time at 10 a.m. as we dig deeper into this Race Them Runt summer camp project on thinkbigradio.com. Meet me here next first Monday at 10 a.m. I look forward to hearing your questions, taking your comments, and responding to all of the emails and the text messages that I have gotten from you during this broadcast. Thank you so much. I love you all. I decided to build a place for them to come, and now they are on their way. Why don't you help me to make sure that they have a wonderful, warm welcome. Have a great day, everybody.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. For their judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.